Welcome to the Naked Relationship Podcast. I'm Adam. Yes, I am without Kelly because she's working, but we've got a very special treat for you. Brian from Front Porch Swingers. I'm interviewing him on his recent episode, as well as a lot of other things. And so it's very interesting. We're excited for this. Now, with that being said, you can find us on social media at TNR Podcast. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find us on our website, thenakedrelationship.com. Enjoy the interview.
All right, guys, I've got Brian here from Front Porch Swingers. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, it's I've been on your show twice now, so it's nice to be able to return the favor.
Well, I appreciate it.
So tell everyone who you are, where they can find you.
So I am Brian, one half, not the better half of Front Porch Swingers, the podcast. But that's me, one half of the Front Porch Swingers. Brenna is my better half.
What's your social media and where can they find you?
You can find us at mail, M-A-I-L, at Front Porch Swingers. You can email us there. You can find us at FP Swingers on Twitter and Instagram. Pretty easy to find. We're on all the podcatchers, as you can imagine, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify. We're all over.
Your last episode, well, going into your last episode, I already had some topics in mind that I wanted to interview you about and just kind of talk to you about. And then I listened to your last episode and I'm like, fuck, there's all the rest of my episode, my interview with Brian. Like, it's just all right there. It's screaming at me to write these down and then ask you to come on the show. And so here we are.
Well, I'm glad I could help. I didn't do it with that in mind, but I'm glad it's absolutely helping you out.
I mean, you guys do a lot for us and other podcasters. Just, you know, I don't think that, you know, we could really truly thank you enough. I mean, some of the stuff that we do is because of you guys. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. This is an interesting space that we're all in, right? I mean, there's plenty of space there for all of us, you know, and I really think that there should be more of the, you know, kind of the camaraderie that exists in other podcast spaces and, you know, the assistance, you know, there's not enough of it.
Sure. Yeah. That's something that kind of just really correlates with my entire life, because growing up, I always seem to never do anything on my own. There's always someone helping me. And I always believe that you're never too good for advice. You know, I don't give a shit if you're, you know, Bill goddamn Belichick, you know, I guarantee you, he still gets advice from other people.
Sure. He learned from somebody just like everybody else.
You know, the Harbaugh brothers, I mean, they still have their dad break down film, you know,
right?
Fuck Jim, go Hawks. But you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it's just, you're never too fucking good for advice and help. So
I've often said that the guy, the person in the room who thinks he knows everything is usually the least intelligent person in the room.
Oh yeah. I mean, for example, Tony Dungy, he won, you know, a Super Bowl with the Steelers back in the 70s.
Sure did.
As a bench warmer. And then he goes on and wins the Super Bowl as a coach. My point is like, even if you're like a nobody, you know, like, you can still do amazing things. And I guarantee you, none of that was done on his own.
No, he was paying a lot of attention from the bench.
Oh yeah, exactly. And that's what people don't understand. You can spot things from anyway. Sorry, that's a little bit of a tangent on my.
Hey, part. It's your show, man. Have at it.
Go Hawks! And earlier in your show, before your last episode, well before, you had mentioned that you do the vetting, and
I do.
And a good part of that is you put out these ads on your various platforms and you tell everybody what you're looking for. And I understand that there's a lot of repetition with some of these fuckers that think they're just going to send you a, hey, what's up, and get into Brenna's pants. You know, it doesn't work like that, you know, because you got to show some effort and show that you're not a piece of shit. But what I really want to dive into is how you really go about your vetting and how you really are able to do that successfully. Because with me and Kelly, we like two different completely types of men. And, right. And so basically, like, if I don't like them, she might like them, but it's not always that easy.
Right.
I guess, you know, let's just talk about a little bit about your vetting process for our listeners.
Sure. So to put this into perspective, I received an email response from an ad that's probably, or a post, I should say, that's about 4 months old now, 5 months old. It was literally just a phone number. No verbiage at all. Just a phone number. As if I was going to call this number and set up a date for my significant other without having any other information about this person. So that should give you some idea that kind of, you know, the bullshit that I go through when it comes to vetting some of these guys, which is, you know, why Single Guy Tip of the Week was born.
You know, that segment actually inspired a few other segment ideas for us as well.
It started out tongue in cheek, but the truth is that the more correspondence we get from people, the more helpful for some reason it seems to be. But you know, if you're listening, if you get a phone call, a phone number as a response, don't call it. That's free advice.
I mean, I will if it's 867-530.
Right. Exactly. That's the only one you should call back.
I mean, Jenny is actually the name of my mother. So, you know, I might be calling my mother. You never know.
You never know. I wonder how many people called that number back in the day. I can only imagine. Looking for Jenny.
Yeah.
So when it comes to vetting, you know, we're on a few different platforms for various reasons. We have a BDSM profile, obviously, on a site and a couple other places locally for the most part. And what happens is when it comes to the single guys particularly, I do most of that communication. Brenna does all the other digital communication. I deal with the single guys because frankly, it gets to be overwhelming. So I deal with that. And the first course of action for me, honestly, is in that first response. It's like the first time you meet somebody, it's the first handshake, right? It's like a digital handshake. You know, if there's not something cogent written in it, if you didn't respond, you know, based on what I actually wrote and it doesn't have any, there's no comparison there. If it's a one-liner, hey, what's up, a phone number, those just get deleted instantly. If I think based on your response that you've kind of read the post and you're following, you know, the guidelines, so to speak, then I will reach out to you and thank you for doing so. Depending on what we're looking for, I will elaborate a little bit and see if that's something that the person is interested in pursuing. 9 times out of 10, regardless of what you say, they say yes, of course. And it's usually 3 or 4 messages in when you can really tell that this person is genuine. They're genuinely serious about wanting to meet. And that's the big thing, right? Everybody thinks this is a great idea. The single guys think, oh, I'm going to meet this hot wife and, you know, this is going to be great. I'm going to get laid. This is going to be so easy. Then, of course, they find out around message 4 or 5 that they are going to meet with me. Now, a lot of times Brenna is present, but you are going to meet me. And that's when usually, I say 8 times out of 10, the communication stops because they don't want to meet you, right? They want to meet her. You know, they think it's just going to be that easy. I'm just going to meet this gal, have a drink, jump in the sack, and that's going to be it. And for some folks, that's fine. You know, I mean, if that's your thing, then shit, man, get after it. But, you know, it's more of a security issue. You know, you and I were just talking about it a little bit earlier before we started recording. You know, this is the person, you know, that means the most to me. I'm not about to turn her over to someone, some fucking stranger I've never met who, you know, with whom I've corresponded 3 or 4 times, you know, digitally. To me, I can't wrap my head around that necessarily. So, you're going to have to meet me. We'll meet someplace casual. Maybe it's coffee. Maybe it's a drink. You know, you're going to sit across from me. You're going to shake my hand. You're going to speak to me and look me in the eye. We're going to have a normal conversation about life, what you do, you know, the usual bullshit, and get comfortable with one another, you know. And during that time, I can usually tell how interested in this person Brenna is. It's simply a look. She'll give me a look and I'll know instantly that this is or is not going to go forward.
You know, I'm sure that there's been a various variety of different interactions with these people that, you know, mm-hmm. are trying to get inside Brenna's pants once you actually sit them down for a drink or coffee or however you go about it. But like, what are, like, I know you said you kind of talk about life and stuff, but what are some of the questions you get to? I mean, are any of them sexual in nature? Are they, you know, what's your salary, or what do you ask?
There's virtually no talk of sex at all during this initial conversation with me, for sure. What I'm trying to find out from this person is, are you local? How long you been here? What do you do? Not interested in what you make. I don't care about that. I just want to know that you can have a conversation with me about something other than fucking my significant other. Right. You know, and it's also a comfort thing, right? You meet somebody or you're out with a friend, you're having a drink and you're just having a conversation. Maybe it's about local, you know, the local, you know, sports team, or maybe for us, maybe it's a, have you been skiing lately kind of thing? Have you been camping? Have you been hunting? Have you been fishing? What are your favorite spots in town? What do you like to do when you're not sitting across from a guy trying to bang his wife, you know, just hobbies. You like live music, you know, whatever the case may be, because for us, it's also about the relationship. Rarely is it kind of a, you know, a one and done kind of thing with us. We really like to form relationships, even with the single guys that mm-hmm. Brenna plays with. We're still in contact with many of them. And of course, Brenna has a regular playmate that she's been seeing for, you know, a year and a half now. So, right. You know, it's really just to get to know someone and to figure out whether or not, if this does happen, if it does go forward and she does actually play with this person, is this someone that we would want to see again on a vanilla basis? You know, would we want to be downtown one night and say, you know, text them and say, hey, you're around, we're having a drink, or we're having dinner, we're going to a show, what are you up to, kind of thing, which we do regularly, or used to, you know, before, when the world was normal. And, you know, you just want to be able to have that kind of rapport with folks. If I don't get the feeling that that's that kind of guy, or he's that kind of guy, chances are it's not going to go very far.
Do you ever meet with someone and you just completely just friend zone them, like vanilla as fuck? You want to hang out with them
instantly. I can tell really within 30 seconds, I'll know if this is going to be kind of a go or not for me. I just, you know, from my history dealing with people, I've just got an instinct about people. We did meet one guy one time, met him at one of our favorite places. It was kind of a spur of the moment thing. He said he was downtown. We had just finished dinner. We moved over to the bar for an after dinner drink. We had him meet us. You know, this is a guy I had been corresponding with for, you know, a couple of weeks on and off, had a, you know, a nice conversation. He seemed like a normal sort of guy. He shows up in probably the best restaurant in our town, just wearing really kind of dingy clothing, ball cap on. He didn't make the effort to kind of put himself together. He wouldn't look me in the eye. He sat kind of to my left and wouldn't engage me. He wouldn't look at Brenna in the eye. His head was kind of down the entire time. It was really very off-putting body language, you know, and that's a guy that we're going to pass and say, thank you very much for meeting us, and, you know, good luck to you.
It's almost like he was shitting his pants, you know? I mean,
yeah, strange.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not by any means going to, you know, stick up for this fucker, but what I am saying is, like, I don't know. I guess maybe if it was like my first time meeting, you know, a couple as almost like an interview to have coital interactions with his wife, you know, I probably would be a little bit nervous too, but I would still try to, you know, look you in your eye. You know, I mean, maybe it's different for me because I educated myself before Kelly ever even blew someone else.
Right. You know? Right. So,
I mean, I listened to, fuck, I don't know how many podcast episodes about swinging. I don't know how many different blogs and stuff like that I read.
Sure.
You know, but, you know, I was educated. So I kind of knew, you know, a little smidgen about what to do and what not to do in terms of how to act and treat people. I think kind of for you, it's definitely a lot easier if these fuckers can show you that, yes, I do want to have sex with your wife, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I can't, you know, talk about other things. You know, I can show you that she's not just a piece of meat to me.
Well, two things. First, what's funny is that this particular gentleman is actually a guy we met because he reached out to us as someone who actually hosts in our town local gangbangs. This is not a guy who's new to the scene. And we weren't interested in necessarily participating in that, or I should say Brenna wasn't, but we thought we would meet him at least because he showed interest in her. And so this is a guy who seemingly has got some aptitude, you know, in the lifestyle, right? I mean, yeah. You would think so anyway. But, you know, even more, you know, to your point in terms of educating yourself or understanding how to engage with and speak to, you know, hot wife couple or a lifestyle couple. I tell people all the time, just treat people like you would normally treat people. You're meeting someone for the first time. You walk in, you introduce yourself, you shake their hand, you look them in the eye, you have a smile on your face, be prepared to have a conversation. I mean, it's no different from meeting anyone else, but it's almost like there's this kind of weird dichotomy, right? Like they get in front of people who potentially they may be playing with under, you know, maybe some less than normal circumstances, and they just freeze up and they just can't perform, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of fucked up on his regard then. Maybe it was his first time meeting, you know, the husband. I don't fucking know. That's fucking crazy to me. Like, I can't really fathom that, honestly.
No, me either. I mean, it's always, you know, I don't want to say it's like a job interview, but it kind of is. I mean, every time you meet somebody for the first time, right, you're being interviewed, you're being judged, you know, whether we like it or not, everyone judges everybody, you know, and you walk into a place, you're going to sit down at a really nice place and have a drink with a couple that potentially you're going to play with, you know, the wife of that couple or the significant other of that couple. you come in looking, you know, I mean, like you just, you know, basically got off the job site and rolled on in and didn't shower, didn't shave. And, you know, to make matters worse, you're not engaging. You're not conversant. It was really a very strange interaction. And that's the kind of person we're just, you know, we're going to say thank you, appreciate you coming, and just pass on.
That's really what you have to do in that situation. I mean,
yeah.
Fuck. I mean, that's red flags out the ass already.
And then, you know, you talk about a lack of awareness. I don't know, maybe a week after that, you know, he reached out to us again, asking if we wanted to meet him for a drink again. Like, I thought we made it clear, you know, this is really not for us. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. No awareness on that one, I guess. Nope. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. That's fucked up. But how do you know what Brenna wants? Because again, you know, I struggle with trying to figure out what
Kelly. Do you really?
Because yeah. Oh God. Yeah. It's like.
Did she like a lot of different types of guys? Is she kind of like, you know, depends on what day it is, how tall he is or how short he is. And, you know, she has kind of a different taste every day kind of thing.
It really is by the different day. And I say that because, you know, for probably the first year and a half of our relationship, she was not into African-American gentlemen.
Okay.
Now she is, you know, she wasn't into Latino, even though she's a Latina, you know, but one of her most recent, play partners, who's a great guy. We just got off on the wrong foot, him and I, due to various reasons we've talked about it on the show. He's a Latino, you know? So, you know, whether it's this guy has a beard, you know, I do know that she's not into, you know, skinny guys. She loves dad bods, which is why I think we're the perfect fit.
Well, now you just got to be a dad. You'll be right there.
Man, I got the dad jokes at the ass. I got...
You're gearing up.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, fuck, I'm... The only thing I don't have on is my Pete Carrolls.
You know, for sure. You can pick a pair of those up. No problem.
I don't know. A couple years back, we were at a shoe store and I was shit talking New Balance like a motherfucker. And then I look to my left and there's a pair they look nice. They're Seahawks colors. No white, anything on them. They're just, you know, they're like a wolf gray with a navy blue and a neon action green. I'm like, fuck, I'm leaving with those. And they're in our shoe closet right now. Shit you not.
And they're very, I'm sure they're therapeutic as well. So,
yeah, a little bit, you know, they're very comfortable. Let's put it that way. I got a wide fat foot. No fucking clue why. Thanks dad, mom, whoever. But anyway, no, I have no fucking clue what she wants.
Interesting.
I mean, she did try to have sex with a skinny guy. And since we've been together and she still doesn't like skinny guys, but yet here she is, like she finds this one attractive or even like muscular men. She's not into overly muscular men like DK Metcalf, even though she wants to sit on his fucking face, you know, like, yeah, like I don't get it. I really just don't understand it. I mean, it's like going down on her. She wants something different every
second. That's a woman's prerogative, I suppose. She can change her mind as often as she likes.
Absolutely. And by all fucking means do it. But don't expect me to be able to find you the perfect.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, it sounds like you need a crystal ball sometimes. For me, you know, there are some core, you know, characteristics that I know that Brenna likes. Well, for example, if she leaves me for anyone, it's going to be Kevin Love. That's like her perfect human being.
Really?
Yeah. It's her perfect human being. So she loves tall guys. She does actually like skinny guys. I am not necessarily her type. In fact, I'm the only guy that she's ever dated or anything and, you know, had any kind of relationship with, that is like myself. You know, I'm 6'1". I weigh 200 pounds. I'm far more muscular, bigger than most guys that she's been with. She likes skinny guys. However, it depends on the day. You know, sometimes it's a character thing, right? I mean, personality is a big deal. She's played with guys that aren't necessarily her type physically or would normally be, but just really enjoyed them as, you know, as a person and got more attracted to them. You know, fortunately for me, she does like older guys, or, you know, I'd be in trouble. However, she has played with a 26-year-old, you know, porn actor. So, you know, that worked out very well also. So yeah, much like Kelly, you know, Brenna's taste varies to some degree, but you know, the key really is be a gentleman, be articulate, be hygienic, be funny. She loves, you know, guys that make her laugh, be complimentary. You know, you pay Brenna a compliment and she's putty in your hands. You know, I mean, there's just some core values that she really looks for. And she's, you know, very much wants a take charge person. She wants someone who is, you know, an alpha, you know, the apex guy. She doesn't really do well with guys who are going to want her to make all the first moves and, you know, kind of direct the action. She really needs someone to take charge.
Sure. That's understandable. I think with Kelly, though, it's just kind of like, because me and her are both big on personalities, which we'll get into a little bit later. But, you know, for me, I'm more like you could be like a two in terms of physical appearance, but if you find, but if you have the personality,
right,
by all means, you know, like I'm ready, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, but, and if you're like a 10 physically, then, and you have a shit personality, I'm not even going to like even try,
sure.
You know, it's just a waste of our time.
Yeah, exactly. The personality is everything. We have engaged with folks that we found very attractive, but frankly didn't enjoy their company and passed on playing with them. And, you know, just the opposite. We have met people that we thought, well, I'm not really sure if they're necessarily our physical type, but ended up being, you know, having a great time with them because we really enjoyed their company and they were great fun. You know, we just talked about some of our friends that we just played with, just coming out of all this hibernation. They're very good friends of ours. They've become really good friends. And, you know, Jessica and Roger, and, you know, Jessica is my height. She's 6'1", flat footed, barefoot.
Wow.
Yeah. And she is, I mean, she's statuesque, man. I mean, she's got an amazing body, but I'm not, you know, I don't typically go after women who are my height. You know, I kind of have a type, you know, they're short with big butts. That's usually my thing.
Cannot lie.
No, absolutely not. But she's such an amazing person. And I mean, she's sexy as hell, so that doesn't hurt, but you know, we just have a great time with them and, you know, I enjoy being with her.
Kind of transitioning into more of the content from this previous episode, episode 89, I believe it was. You're getting really close to a big milestone, number 100.
Yep.
So in about 3 months, you'll probably hit that. Congrats.
Thank you.
And be the first one, hopefully.
Yeah.
And that's a big fucking milestone. But one thing I really want to talk about is, because the majority of the content from your episode after you did the single male tip of the week was about polyamory, and even the episode was titled, I believe it was, Are We Polyamory or Could We Be Polyamory?
Right.
And so that kind of got me thinking, because Kelly and I have, I mean, one of her biggest books that she's reading off and on here over the last year has been The Ethical Slut.
Yeah.
I believe it's called.
Yeah. Brenna's read it also. She enjoyed it.
I believe it's mostly about polyamory, or maybe it was another book that she read that was specifically about polyamory, but it helped her open her eyes. Although we don't personally feel like we could handle seeing each other be in love with other people.
Right.
But we just don't think that we're there yet. But you guys are kind of, as Brenna put it, you're flirting with that line of polyamory.
Yeah. This whole thing came up, this whole conversation started because of something a friend of ours said to me, who is a lifestyle guy. He asked me, because he is a person who immersed in the lifestyle, has been for the better part of, you know, 20 years, is a professional in the business as well. Very, very successful. And he had a conversation with someone who was, let's just say, very influential in the world of polyamory. And he asked me, you know, based on a conversation that he had with this gal, what I thought, where I thought Brenna and I fell. And based on some of the things that she said to him, it was kind of hard to define, are we poly or are we not? And one of the things you brought up, as we mentioned on the show, or maybe I mentioned it, the fact that Brenna has had a regular playmate, Clint, for over a year and a half now, or right at a year and a half, you know, that in this woman's interpretation, based on what my friend had said, was that she considers that to be a poly type relationship. You know, the question was, do you correspond, or does Brenna correspond with him regularly about, you know, vanilla things, or is it always sexual in nature? Do you interact with him, you know, on a vanilla level? Do you have dinner? Do you have drinks? Do you see him at events? Do you attend events together? All those things. You know, the answer to all those questions is yes. And, you know, he even spent Brenna's birthday with us, as I mentioned. He was, he met us out of town at one of our favorite hot spring spots. And, you know, he spent the evening with us. You know, that's a big deal, you know? And so, you know, and he is a poly guy. He has a girlfriend. He's had a number of poly relationships. Clint has. And so can we say emphatically that we're not poly? I really don't know. I guess it depends on your particular definition or interpretation of it.
I think for us, you know, because one of the biggest thing for us other than sex that we look for is friendship.
Yes.
With a play partner. And if that's not there, then, I mean, it's really like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I can totally empathize with Brenna, you know, being able to, because like you said, Brenna and Clint, they tell each other about each other's days,
yeah.
You know, and the gentleman named Dakota, who is the male half of the couple that we are just essentially just becoming best friends with, you know, he was over last night and we were talking about the same thing. And, you know, it's like, without that friendship, it's just not there for us.
Sure, sure. Listen, we, you know, our friend Hannah, the single gal that we have, you know, been friends with now for, I mean, like I said, I think it's been 8 or 9 months. She texted me today just to say hello. You know, now that's not unusual. We, you know, she'll text me often, or I'll text her about something, or she'll see something or hear something that'll remind her of us or me. And she'll text me throughout the, you know, throughout the week. But, you know, I was on in a meeting. I got a text message. I didn't check my phone right away. I got out of the meeting, got back into my car. And sure enough, it was, you know, it was Hannah. And, you know, so I don't know, does a few text messages, you know, Polly make? I don't know, you know, but certainly I have to think it's on the borderline, right? It's kind of walking a fine line.
It definitely does. But at the same time, like, I'm not a poly expert, but, you know, Kelly and Dakota, they text all day long. And the majority of the time, it's not even about sex.
Right. Right.
Which is amazing. It's like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then Melissa and I mean, shit, we text every day as well, but almost never about sex. You know, I might Snapchat her a limp dick pic because she and Kelly both love that for some reason, but that's a fucking rarity now.
Right.
You know, and, you know, our friendship is getting stronger, but, you know, it's been a little bit more difficult because I've been a little bit more like under the weather emotionally because I'm fucking employed.
Right.
But, you know, it's still there and they're great friends and they're coming over this weekend for a picnic, maybe a play date, probably not, but who the fuck knows? Are we open to it? Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
But
so, yeah.
At the end of the day, if it doesn't happen, there's no pressure.
Absolutely. We said it on the one of the our recent shows when we actually did play with our friends Roger and Jessica. We have spent as much time, as much vanilla time with them as we have playtime. And we, you know, we spent some important, times with them, their anniversary, New Year's Eve, and didn't play at all. It was just, you know, four friends out to dinner and drinks and just enjoying each other's company. Now, does that make us poly as a couple? Probably not. We're just friends, you know, but when you're talking about the situation with Brennan, her, you know, her regular playmate or our friend Hannah, you know, you almost got to think, man, I think it's disingenuous for us to say, well, we would never be poly. You know, I don't think we could say that.
I guess right now, because in this past episode, episode 89, if you haven't listened to it yet, you fuckers go listen to it. It's an amazing episode. And it really challenges your line of thinking and a lot of issues. And what, like, you and Brenna were kind of doing a lot of scenario play.
Mm-hmm.
And putting each other in scenarios and saying, hey, would you be comfortable with this? Would you, how would this look? Stuff like that. And so that got me thinking in terms of polyamory, you know, falling in love with another person and welcoming them into your relationship. I know you talked about potentially finding a younger gentleman for when you are, you know, no longer with us.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of maybe just button this question up into two, or there's two questions into one, but how far is too far with poly at your current state? And then also being emotionally attached with play partners. I mean, I'm sure that that's got to put in some boundaries, but at the same time, like you even were able to bring up, like Brenna kind of is, you know, like if Clint were to fall off the face of the earth and never talk to her again, or even just say, hey, I don't want to have sex with you anymore, she would feel upset about that, and rightfully, understandably so.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Well, you know, to begin with, I think that to say there, you could play with someone for a year and a half and not have any emotional attachment would be difficult. Clearly there's not a, you know, Clint is not a love interest, but she would be genuinely upset if their relationship were to end, you know, for whatever reason, whether it, you know, amicably or not. And that's understandable. I mean, I think that's a risk you take, you know, when you get into a situation like we're in, right? You're in an ethically non-monogamous relationship. You are an open couple. The partners have playmates, long-term playmates in this case. I think that's just to be expected. You know, in terms of what is too much, you know, the truth is, Adam, I don't know, because we haven't reached it. And, you know, for me, you know, it's not easy for me to get emotionally attached. I find it very difficult to believe for myself personally that I would get attached to someone that way. I found the person that's, you know, most important to me. So I'm not in that space, honestly. But, you know, Brenna and I are different. She's an emotional creature and, you know, she's very sensitive and I could easily see her being hurt by something like that. And potentially feeling, you know, some level of feelings for someone over the course of time. You know, I have no doubt about that.
Well, I think, you know, even talking to someone for 2 weeks, you know, maybe every day or every other day, is enough to gain some small form of an emotional attachment, you know?
Right. Well, there's degrees, right? There's levels. I think there's levels to everything. And there's certainly levels to this game, you know, how long you've been in communication with someone or how long you've been, you know, let's call it intimate with someone is certainly going to be, you know, it directly, the amount of feelings or emotion that you have for that person will be directly reflective of that level of time, certainly, and the type of time that you've spent. So, yeah, I mean, there's levels to it, no doubt.
It's very difficult to kind of distinguish what is too far because, again, even being emotional creatures, like I'm very emotional. Mm-hmm. Kelly is learning to kind of get in touch with her emotional self.
Right.
But like for me, it's very easy because I get so much rejection, especially on like Bumble and these other apps. It's like, you know, it doesn't help that I don't have any game.
I find it hard to believe.
You were talking about getting messages like, hey, what's up? That was actually my first fucking message to Kelly on OkCupid. So I would be a goddamn fucking hypocrite if I said, you know, that was a bad thing. I mean, but it is, though. It really is.
You've learned. You've come a long way since then, man.
Well, the other thing is, like, even on, like, Bumble or other dating apps, you know, I read their fucking profiles. And then, like, I'll try to send them a message, like, saying something about their profile that I read or how I can relate to this or that or what the fuck ever. And 9 times out of 10, I get no response.
It's interesting.
Regardless of what I say. I think it's my face. Who knows?
No, certainly not. Brenda thinks you're adorable.
Wait till she sees my dad bod. No, kidding.
Well, listen, you just mentioned it, right? So let's touch on that for a second. I make no bones about it. I am 20 years older than, you know, my significant other. And mm-hmm. I was very serious. The one thing you got to know about our show, well, you already know this. There's no, like, we don't prepare. You know, we don't do show notes. We don't do any of that stuff. We're not prepared that way. We get on and we have a topic and we just start talking to each other. It's just a conversation. And so when I asked her, when I said to Brenda, that question I asked her about, you know, how would you feel if Hannah and Clint got together and, you know, that kind of thing, the look on her face told me everything I needed to know. I knew the answer before I asked it. And I knew that she would kind of be like, oh no, he belongs to me kind of thing, you know, not from a jealous perspective, but like, you know, like, you know, it was a gut check moment kind of feeling, you know? So with all that being said, as I told her on the show, listen, I'm going to be, you know, when I'm 70, you're going to be my age now, you know, we got to start looking for somebody who can, you know, spend some time with you when I'm, you know, at that age, because, you know, who the hell knows what happens to me at 70, 75. You know, and sure, I certainly don't want her to be missing out or, you know, feel like she's missed out on anything or, you know, I don't want to begrudge her of anything. So I was very serious about it. I think it's something that, you know, not today necessarily, because fortunately I'm quite healthy, but, you know, it's something we've got to start thinking about at some point. And what does that look like to us? I think that's really, you know, as I mentioned, the time that we're going to spend traveling this upcoming year, I really think we're going to start to kind of, you know, water seeks its own level, right? We'll start to find that. That level, I think, when we're in the midst of all of that.
I mean, like for us, you know, like I referred to Melissa last night, you know, as my girlfriend that I'm not trying to fall in love with. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Kelly, that was the first time she heard it, but I told her and Dakota, and they knew exactly what the fuck I meant.
Sure.
And I feel like maybe that is what you guys and we are looking for. You know, mm-hmm. we're looking for that. For those girlfriend boyfriend scenarios where we're not going to fall in love with them,
right?
But we're going to be best friends, and we're going to have amazing benefits.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. We, you know, after the episode aired, and we were together. I think we were out on our way to meet some friends just the other day, going to meet them for dinner, and we had a conversation in the car. And you know, we were still talking about this. You know, after you know a couple of days after the you know we recorded the show, and something Brenna said made a lot of sense because the truth is we're very much in love and I cannot foresee a third person coming in and not feeling like a third wheel to some degree. And we never want anyone to feel that way. And what Brenna said was, you know, the best scenario for us in terms of finding that third person, whether it's a male or a female, mind you, I don't really know what direction that goes, to be honest with you. As I said, I want to find someone for her, you know, down the road anyway, but whether it's a male or a female that we get involved with in a polyamorous, you know, a legitimate polyamorous type situation, we feel, or she feels that person also needs to have a significant other, also has to have a primary. Like we shouldn't be someone's primary, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense, because the truth of the matter is, she's always going to be my primary and I'm always going to be hers. So we just don't want someone to feel like a secondary person, because that's just not who we are. But there, we think right. It's important that person have a primary in their life. And that would probably be the best possible scenario.
Well, you guys are kind of, you know, you guys are setting yourselves up to, you know, to be Clint-less, if you will, in terms of you're going on the road for a year or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're kind of putting yourself in like a, we kind of want to figure this out, but at the same time, we're going on the road for a year.
Yes, we are.
So what do you kind of, I know you are probably looking for where you want to settle down, but what else are you hoping to see? What are you planning to do? You know,
well, you know, this is a plan that's been in the making now for almost 2 years. So aside of all the boring logistical, you know, bullshit and, you know, that you have to deal with, for us getting on the road is really going to be, I think it's really going to be an awakening, particularly for Brenna. Again, I am 20 years her senior and I've traveled all over, and Brenna has lived.
But she's never left the state, right?
She's never lived anywhere but Montana. So she has traveled, you know, for work and that kind of thing, but never spent any significant time anywhere. I've been to all 50 states. I think the only state I didn't spend any time in at all was New Hampshire. But, you know, for my former profession, I traveled a lot. And I actually traveled on the road a lot. I was the one person that would do the tour, basically, is what we used to call it. And I would go from place to place to place on the road. And at one point, toward the end of my career with my former company, I actually, instead of staying at hotels and Airbnbs and all that stuff, I traveled with my trailer, my camper, and I loved it. I did that for the better part of a year. And I knew that I had to do that again. That was, even back then, I knew that was something I needed to do. And
see, that's interesting, because I really, really want to get into fucking van life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, we have a dog and two fucking cats. So
that's a very different, you're talking about that's an incredible sacrifice. I know some folks that do that, mm-hmm. and I envy them for it, and have a great deal of respect for how and what they do in terms of that. But that is a very, sure. You're talking about a very specific mindset, man. It's, that would be a tough gig. You guys, I mean, it would be great for you guys to be, if I were your age and knew what I know now, I probably would be doing that. But it was, that's a very different way of life. And frankly, I don't know that I could do it. Not at this point in my life. So, but it's not that different. I mean, we are going to literally be traveling. We're going to sell our home. And we'll be going around the country, you know, touring. Fortunately, our new partnership with Alt Playground has assisted us in doing that. We have a lot of different things planned, and, you know, we'll be going to different events and hosting different events and taking part in all the things that are lifestyle, aligned, provided, the world it gets back on its axis, you know.
Sure.
But that's going to be a big part of it. You know, the lifestyle is why we're doing it. We feel like it's going to really change things for us in terms of the podcast. It's going to give us an opportunity to do and see and talk about things that, a lot of folks won't really be able to experience based on, you know, how we're doing it, which, you know, for us is really the interesting part, you know, what we're going to encounter.
I think that, you know, you might also be able to see some, you know, like different parts of the country might do swinging and events differently.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Maybe in different mannerisms, but who knows, man. I'm excited for you guys. I'm pretty jealous that you guys are able to do that. So I'll be living vicariously through you listening to your episodes. So
yeah, that's the plan. We want everyone to be able to do that, and obviously we want to really communicate and get, you know, in person with some of the people that have been supporting us this entire time. We have, you know, made some amazing friends throughout this entire journey. And, you know, we want to be able to spend some time with them and really kind of get to know them, you know, on a personal level and visit with them. And, you know, some amazing people out there, and, you know, so many people reach out and, oh, hey, you know, we're here or we live there and, you know, come stay with us and, you know, please stop by when you come through and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to do our level best to try to do that.
Well, you guys know about where we are. So please come through, check out our cribs on MTV. But no, in all seriousness, we do hope you guys come through.
Oh, you know we will.
Yeah, that'd be fucking awesome. We've only communicated via phone and Skype before. So, you know, it'd be interesting to shake your hand, look you in the eye. But anyway, that That's fucking awesome, man. Yeah. Where, so speaking of these episodes, mm-hmm. where can everybody go to subscribe to you so they can hear these episodes when they come out?
We host on Podbean. You could certainly find us there and subscribe there. You'll get all the good information right away. As soon as you, as soon as an episode comes out, you'll be notified instantly. And again, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're everywhere.
And your website is frontporchswingers.com?
That is correct. Yep. You can email us at mail, M-A-I-L, at frontporchswingers.
And you also have an educational course, I believe, right? Sex on Your Terms.
Yeah, there's a lot happening there. You know, we haven't really done much with it other than with our current clients, but there will be some changes there as well. Both Brenna and myself, we've continued our education in the space of sexual education and relationship education. We've been working on that for some time now. Brenna will be finished with her curriculum very shortly, actually. And then I will be not too far behind her. So we will be making some updates there as well coming soon, doing some seminars and conferences and all that good stuff.
Man, you guys got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Especially with Alt Playground, shout out to them. You know, and also Sex on Your Terms and all this fun stuff you guys got going on, especially hitting the road. Fucking jealous, man.
Yeah, I can't wait.
But thanks for coming on the show, man. I fucking appreciate it. You know that.
Anytime.
Well, same time tomorrow?
Sure, absolutely. I appreciate the time very much. I enjoy talking to you as always. You know you're I'm your biggest fan. So anytime I can help, I'm happy to do so.
You guys help in so many ways. I don't even know that I can write them all down. So thank you guys.
Yeah, absolutely, buddy.
So thank you to Brian for coming out and being on essentially a solo chat episode with me. This was a lot of fun. You know, I look up to them in the lifestyle and podcasting. They've done a lot for the podcast community as well as the swinger community. They are essentially my favorite lifestyle podcast. It means a lot that Brian would come on our show, and hopefully we can get Brian and Brenna both together for an episode with Kelly and I. Now, with that being said, thank you again, Brian, so much. So in closing, you can find our social media at TNR Podcasts. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find our website, thenakedrelationship.com. We've got a blog on there where you can see some cleavage, if you will, of Kelly. Thankfully, not of me. You don't want to see a hairy moob, if you will, man boob of mine. And so we've got some more stuff coming on the website. Kelly still has to finish her blog, which you guys know by now is a thing. Check it out. You can email us on there. You can also email us at questions@thenakedrelationship.com. We'll do our best to answer that. You can reach out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll do our best to get to you. And so, yeah, this is an exciting episode, guys, and I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. So thank you so much.